Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
888-957-9570. The number. We'll keep taking your calls. It's keep it a buck time. What do you want to say? Like, we don't need to dance around this. What do you want to say about Brock Purdy? Let's go to diehard Niner fan in Sac. What's up, Niner fan? What you doing?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great, man. What's up?
Kind of a depressing game yesterday, right?
Indeed.
It's kind of like everybody's blaming Brock. I won't go there, even though I have lots of times. But, you know, everybody's making excuses. The whole team played crappy. But I think, kind of repeating what Dib says, is Brock, when he knows that he doesn't have all the best players out there or his line's not blocking, he tries to do too much and forces passes. And that kills our drives. You know, he's going into like 3 or 4 man coverages when there's an outlet right in the flat or somewhere else. And a lot of, 22 analysts said, yeah, he could have checked down. And I don't care if he checked down Charlie and we score a touchdown all the way down the field that way. Don't force it down because you throw an interception. Your possession's over. There's the game. I mean, he's still got time to improve, but even like the greatest quarterbacks we had in Niner history, Steve Young, for example, he made that long run in that Minnesota game. You had Bill Walsh say, hey, great run, but you know what? You could have threw it down, somewhere else and put it probably across right. The same thing. Right. And if Brock would just listen to it, he even says, it's like, I gotta stop forcing the ball doing that. If he listens to himself, he'd probably develop into a great quarterback.
Well,
he's got the skills.
Yeah, Niner fan, here's what I would say about that, and thanks so much for the call. Like, it very much feels like, okay, so now we're going to come after some. I think it's a fair criticism, to be honest with you. But I'm also mindful of, like, okay, so now we're going to get mad at a quarterback for being too aggressive. We hate it when quarterbacks are like Derek Carr, which is just captain check down all the time, and you never really force things down the field. Like, it's 3rd and 8, and you're accepting your 4 to 5 yard pass so that you can punt. Like, you're not going to score a lot of points that way either. So it's really, really difficult. I don't know where to put this blame because I actually find this to be confusing. The bottom line, though, for Brock Purdy and quite frankly, all quarterbacks, if your team cannot run the ball, you're in a bad way. You're going to have a really hard time executing your passing game if you are consistently 2nd and 9, 3rd and 8, 2nd and 9, 3rd and 8. You're going to have a really, really hard time. And I don't know why a Shanahan Christian McCaffrey team is having such a hard time right now ripping off 5 or 6 yards on first down like was traditionally easy a couple years ago. But as long as that's happening, I think you're going to keep seeing more turnovers from Brock Purdy, unfortunately.
I don't think that the things have to be necessarily connected because right now the Niners are 3rd in the league in 3rd down conversion. So they've been converting, even when they've been behind the sticks. And yesterday I'm looking at the game log and there was a few of those where you had a 3rd and 7 and then CMC had his longest run, 11 yards. So at times you are able to run it. Now what you're not able to do is get that big gash run, and that's what Kyle was talking about today. They haven't had the big 30 or 40 yard breakout run like ETN did yesterday, 48 to the house, and so that becomes a game changer. And if you start having those, then the defense will stretch a little bit, and also they haven't had the deep threat, and you can't have a deep threat if you don't pass protect. So you were talking about complementary football before, And the offense has to be complementary to itself in that, okay, if you can't run it and you want to throw it, you got to protect. And if you can't protect, then you can't throw it deep. And if you can't run it because you can't block, well, what are we doing then?
Yeah, but to me, that 11-yard run that you just mentioned is, that is revealing. Because why were they able to run on 3rd and 7 for 11 yards? Because it's one of the few times in the game where the defense isn't keying on that. And right now, we've heard it from everyone. They are absolutely keying on the run. They are daring the 49ers to do something to take them out of that defense. And when you have an offensive line that is performing at a mediocre level, you have wide receivers introducing themselves to each other in the huddle and George Kittle not in the game, that's going to make it really hard for your quarterback. Has Brock handled that well? Maybe not. Maybe not so far this year. He is also, though, playing through his own injuries. So when you add that whole mixture together, yeah, dude, you're going to get something that's less than ideal. Like, no question. I don't know. You can be frustrated with the Niner passing game if you want. I am way more frustrated with the 49er run game than the pass game.
Agreed. And I'm not frustrated in totality with it. I'm just looking at Brock Purdy in situations where he doesn't need to take the risk that he's taking. And, you know, you mentioned 3rd and long, and I'm looking at the last drive that they had in the first half, and they get it at their own 41 after the kick catch interference, past a Bourne drop, past a CMC drop. And then Tonjes converts, and then pass to CMC incomplete because of the pressure. Then Purdy ran for 10, then a false start. So even when they started to like clip some momentum together, then they had the hook and lateral, which got them deep. And then you had another drop, the low one to Juwan. And so they haven't had that consistent flow often enough in these games.
Let's go to Gris in Concord next up. Hey, Gris, what you doing, man?
Hey, what's going on?
Gris, you there?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you now.
Yeah, hey, how are we doing?
Good, good, good.
All right, so I did a terrible job with your screener. I think I got a better take here.
Oh, nice. This is going to be brand spanking new material then.
No. So I think, Brock did not have a good game, right? Like, he was off. You know, I think Shasky was big in the morning saying that, you know, he was clearly hurting. But he had, like, I think up to 14 points, maybe up to 10 points that could have been scored because of fumbles that he didn't commit and interceptions or drop passes. So that weren't his fault. So he potentially, like, was driving them down field to score enough points to win that game handily. So yeah, he had a bad game, but you know, if they didn't have those mistakes, they would have overcome that and still won, and he'd have a bad game, and it'd be, you know, Brock looked a little rusty and he was haphazard at times, but hey, they put points on the board. So you got to consider that. And then, like what you're saying, Mark, about the run game, like, when you're forcing someone to throw, they're gonna stack the backfield, and you know, it's just a recipe for disaster. So how much of that can you blame on Brock, right? So I don't know. People overreact so badly, and it's wild. Anyone who says they'd rather have Mac Jones in over Brock Purdy with a straight face, you know, I instantly question a lot about that. So
you might get your wish if you're that person on Thursday.
Yeah, Gris, and I mean, it's one thing. Gris, thank you. It's one thing to want Mac for a game.
Yeah.
If you want Mac for all the games, I'm with Gris. I don't really understand where you're coming from on this whole thing.
And my whole thing with Mac has been that I still think you can win games with Mac. And if you get to Thursday and Mac has to play, I think that you can still go out and win that game, depending on how his knee is. Because
you're allowed to, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, they went out and they're 2-0 with Mac as their backup. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that if they beat the Rams that I'm going to be saying tear up the contract and take the $90 million cap hit as soon as you can on Brock Purdy. We're not going to get to that spot. I'm not going to get to that spot.
I get it. I really do. I actually see a common thread through all of the things that we're talking about today on a wild day in Bay Area sports. When people see things go wrong, they look at the person who's right up front and they go, "You're screwing up." but that's not what's necessarily going on. And maybe that person up front is screwing up, but so are all of the other people too. And a lot of it is out of the hands of that person up front. So I look at Bob Melvin, and I look at Brock Purdy, and to a degree, this is only half of you, but I look at Steve Kerr in this whole Jonathan Kuminga four-year experience. There are so many things going on and so many disappointing aspects of all of that with all three teams. But what do we do? Well, Brock, you make the most money, you're the quarterback. Bob, you're the manager. You're supposed to make sure that guys know how to run the bases. And Steve, you're the one who puts people in the game, apparently by himself. You don't, like, there's no discussion with anybody. All of these things are layered, and absolutely none of them are all on them. But that's where people are going to look. And so that's my take on Brock. I can't defend what he did yesterday. He did not play well. But if this is the sole thing that you come out of yesterday with, then I would argue you are one of the people that they refer to as a hater.
Well, and you're, I think, somebody who doesn't understand the nature of football and look at it from the other side. If you're a Jacksonville Jaguars fan, do you look at Trevor Lawrence yesterday and say, yep, that's the guy. That's why we won. We won because of Trevor Lawrence. And we all do this where the quarterback gets the credit, the quarterback gets the blame, and it's always going to be much more nuanced than that. And if you look at the Jags yesterday, you would look at ETN with 124 yards and a house call. You would look at Washington with a kick return for a touchdown. You would look in other directions, a defense that was nasty and taking the ball away. Then you might get to Trevor Lawrence. But for the Niners, especially when you got this newly minted quarterback who had some mistakes, it's easier to put the blame on him.
We're sponsored by Pier 39. Tell everybody your picks again. Tell everybody your picks.
We've got Miami given the 2.5 at home against the Jets, and we've got Denver given 7.5 at home against the Bengals.
Look at you. Just a couple of favorites.
You know?
Couple of favorites.
Favorites did well this weekend. Or actually, home teams did well. Home I apologize. Teams,
yeah, not one of them.
Yep.
And one of them didn't do very well.
Yeah, I got that one right.
All right, 888-957-9570. We'll keep taking your calls. Really, let it out. What do you want to say about Brock Purdy? Good, bad, otherwise. Y'all want to hear what Kurt Warner just said about Brock Purdy? I think you'll find it interesting. We'll tell you what he said coming up in just a bit. It's Willard and Dibbs.
It's questionable. Questionable concern.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
50-yard punt sends Parker Washington back. He's got a punt return touchdown in his career, and he's got an ollie, and he might have his second.
No,
96 yards last year against the Patriots. He's going to house this one, and the Jaguars get the score in special teams, 87 yards. That flips the momentum and the whole temperature of this building.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Grr.
Yeah, that was a herder.
Adam Amin, Fox.
Yeah, had another good day.
That game, just like my every single time you thought had something going, somebody would step forward and just,
right.
Gut punch.
And that was what I was talking about with the defense, because Brock throws the pick, the first play pick. After the defense had gotten Jacksonville to punt, Brock throws a pick. Okay. Defense holds again. 3 and out.
Yep.
Jacksonville punts. Niners, They get a one, a zero, a drop, and now they have to punt. And your boy Morstead, he gets into it. He did. He thundered that thing.
Yeah.
He outkicked his coverage.
Yep.
Touchdown.
Yep.
So, I mean, just like that, where the defense, they were, you know, not pressuring Trevor Lawrence all day. They weren't really impacting the game in a lot of ways, but they were hanging around, and they forced another three and out. And you're thinking, all right, late third, Niners are only down six. Brock gets the ball. You go nowhere because you can't run it. And I'm looking at my notes on one of those runs from CMC. Trent with the whiff. They ran Trent's side, and he charges out to block the guy, and whoop, just missed him.
Yep.
No gain. And then that was when Kendrick Bourne had the deep slant, and that ball was just right on the money. Two hands, whoop, and it's like, oh, boy. So it's not all Brock. I don't want to put it all on Brock.
No, nothing is all anything here. Like, it's not all Bomel, and it's not all Kuminga, and it's not all Kerr. It's not all Brock, okay? It's not all Bosa. It's not, there's no all. Like, I've got a phrase, though, that keeps bouncing into my head as we talk through this all, and we'll go back to the phones here in a second. We wanted to know kind of what do you want to say about Brock? Like, let's go. Dive deep into the gut and just let it out. What do you want to say about Brock? Good, bad, otherwise. But the phrase that keeps popping into my head when I'm watching the Niners yesterday, phrase that keeps popping into my head when I think about the fact that Bomel only lasted 2 years as the manager of the Giants, and what keeps popping into my head that media days here and the Warriors largely don't know who they're allowed to introduce to you, all of you, the fans. Button it up. That's the phrase for me today to all three organizations. And I think they know that. Like, they don't need a radio host to say that to them. But button it up. And the one thing I'll say, for example, to Buster Posey, I don't know exactly what it was that inspired him after extending Bomel to then change leadership. But I think that his response would be, I am. We're buttoning it up.
Right.
Like, he took a move maybe a little bit earlier. Like, Buster Posey would not have allowed Jake Moody to start the year. Right? He's going to be like, I'm going to be ahead of this. We're not taking 500. We're going to button it up. For the Niners, I don't know who needs to hold who accountable with, for instance, special teams. And it, because that, to me, is the biggest thing with it that's, like, super just fixable. And they just haven't done it for years and years. It's like, button it up. Button it up. And then to the Warriors and Kuminga's agent and the fact that here we are still playing high-stakes poker with Media Day and camp now open, I don't even know who to point this at, but button it up. Like,
they have
let's
a
go.
Game on Sunday.
My God.
They have a game on Sunday. Not in eight Sundays, but the next time we have a Sunday,
I
the Warriors are playing basketball. It's against the Lakers. It's preseason. Who cares? But there'll be squeaky sneakers in 48 minutes and a couple of baskets.
I know they don't care about this, but I wonder if they know this. Like, as a huge fan, it was difficult to sit here and listen to Jimmy Butler be playful with Buddy Hield, and Draymond Green says he wants to be on the all-defensive team again. Like, they're talking about normal stuff. And as a Warrior fan, I can't even hear it. I'm like, I'm not there.
Yeah.
We're not with this, like, ooh, cool, basketball's here. I'm like, what is going on?
Quentin Post said Jimmy Butler has a really cool house in San Diego.
That's all. I bet he does. I bet he can afford a real banger. But, like, can we, you've got free agents who are announcing themselves that they're coming to the Warriors, and the Warriors are like, shh, we're not allowed to say anything yet. It's like, good Lord. And I know, my opinion, not their fault. They have a fair offer on the table that Jonathan won't take. That's my opinion. But, like, my God, button it up. You just had media day and you can't introduce your people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ah, it's frustrating, man.
Super frustrating. And you've got, you know, an end of the half scenario yesterday where, okay, you could probably kick it and contain them, and they won't have an easy opportunity to go down and get a field goal opportunity, but you give up Tootin, a big rootin' tootin' 54-yard return.
Rudy Tootin', fresh and fruitin'.
And then the first play from scrimmage subsequent, D. Winters takes a 15, So now they're in just outside the red zone without doing anything other than return a kick and catch a football. So, yeah, button it up is a great way to describe it. Four turnovers, and yet you only lost by five. There were some plays. The Pearsall catch was amazing.
Jawan on the two-point
conversion where he gets his entire body cut in half. The hook and lateral was pretty fresh. The shovel pass to CMC for their only red zone score. There were moments and bright spots, but by and large, yeah, sloppy. You were sloppy. They were sloppy. You were sloppier.
888-957-9570. Christian in Fairfield. Hi, Christian. Thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
I was going to talk about Purdy, but Willard, you touched on it with Griffin, the diehard Niner fan. So can I button it up and talk about who I want the Giants to hire in a little Kuminga?
Let's go. Button it up. Yeah. Christian, this, I'm glad you're doing this. Everybody needs to know this. Like, we've been sitting here talking about Brock, but it's a huge day, and we're kind of open to where, like, what's on your emotional mind. So if it is Bomel or Kuminga or whatever, let's ride. So go ahead, Christian.
So with the Giants, I want to see Brandon Hyde. I think I like him. He led the Orioles through a rebuild in the back-to-back playoffs, and they didn't start falling off to injury. So I'd like to see, he's 51. He's my age.
Yep.
Similar to your age, Willard.
Yep.
So I would like to see that. Some youth.
Santa Rosa guy, by the way.
Who can go to playoffs.
Santa Rosa guy.
Yes, sir. Bay yep. Area. There
yep.
you
yep.
go.
Yep, yep, yep.
That's what I was leading to. Yes. So I'd like to see that. I would like to see them get a local guy who's proven and young and get some energy in there, because I went to a lot of Giants games, and that's my biggest criticism, is the energy wasn't always there. And that's why people, I think, thought that Bomel lost the locker room. And then with Kuminga, he shot himself in the foot with that agent talking about he only plays hard with 30 minutes, and then he'll get, you know, 15 minutes. He doesn't give you maximum effort. No, coach. I played at San Francisco State, Brooklyn College, and 1 year in the PBA for Alaska Milk. You can't tell a coach that. There was a guy who played at Michigan who averaged 46 over there for a week and got sent home. I'll throw out some names you guys will know. Gerald Honeycutt was there, and Andrew Lang won the championship when I was there. And then Derek Brown was imported here, who played at Providence with Shamgar. And this guy, I can't remember his name because he averaged 46 and got sent home. So Kuminga's going to be Cam Reddish's teammate in like 2 years, because no one's going to want that. He's done with the NBA. I'm sorry. And so that's my take, and you guys have a good day. And it ain't Purdy's fault.
Not all his fault. Yeah, Christian.
Not our fault. Podcast star tomorrow, John Feliciano.
Feliciano's coming after you.
Yeah, he's got some apologizing to do.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going
to
happen.
I'm going to get him to cuss tomorrow for sure.
Oh, I hope so.
I'm going to come down his road.
Yeah.
Please.
I'm going to come right. Yeah.
Don't encourage it.
Oh, Grandy, you've said the most salacious thing on this air today.
No doubt.
So curse.
You just calm down. And Lucas, thank you for being
the I love the mockingbird in the back.
The peanut gallery is amazing.
So great. What?
All right. Ralph B. Oh, real quick, just because he brought up a name, he brought up Brandon Hyde.
Yeah.
And I know for most people, they're like, who's Brandon Hyde? He used to manage the Orioles, and they let him go back in May, and he's had some... You know, he's had some thoughts about whether or not he should have lost his job and whatnot, and he is a local guy. I'm curious to see what the Giants do here, but we should not end our show today without a quick thought on Boach. Do you think that's the answer?
No, I don't.
That was a firm firm response from you.
I love Boach. Hey, Mark, it's Boach.
I'm looking for a gig. I know Buster.
I don't know
Mark, this is Boach.
I don't know if he's looking for a gig, first and foremost. There were a lot of rumors that retirement might be his next move.
Nobody ever wants to retire.
What's he, 69, 68?
Bruce?
And, yeah, he's...
He's 70 already.
Okay.
Yeah.
So even if you think that he could come in here and make an impact, how many years would you anticipate that would be? It feels to me like a short-term Band-Aid hire. And for Boach, it can't possibly, it could possibly go as good as it did last time around, but I don't know if you can ever have it be as good as it was with the three titles in 5 years.
Well,
I just think they're looking for more of a younger, vibrant, motivational, somebody who can give a little bit more energy to the job.
Maybe. I mean, Buster's answer about what he's looking for from characteristic standpoint, Did not sound like Bochy, but I also don't know that it's not Bochy. Like, Buster's going to keep this real down the middle and not name names and everything. And they asked him specifically about Bochy, and he's like, I don't even know what his status is, so I can't comment on that. That was his answer there. I am very hesitant whenever somebody tries to rewrite history or go home again or do it again or run it back or all these things. It just... I love Boach, and if that's the choice, I'm not saying I'm against it. You sound more against it than I do. I'm open to it, but I'm not, like, resigned to it. I'm not like, ooh, that's definitely the choice, because I think it's not going to look and feel the way people think it will. You know, it's not going to be the old slipper that you think it is.
Right.
It's just not.
It almost never is, and this is now going to be... It would be, what, 7 years removed from his last stint here? And I think it was, what,
2019?
2019,
right?
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, by the time you get to 2026, that'd be 7 years. And I just think that you're looking for a different type of manager. And what Bob Melvin is much more like Bruce Bochy than he is Gabe Kapler. And you mentioned this maybe on the air or off the air. I get confused because we talk so much, but how overjoyed people were to go from Kapler to Melvin.
Yes.
Like, I think you said it during the crossover.
Yeah, because Bob Melvin represents old school.
Right.
And at that moment, that's what you wanted.
Exactly.
Like, you know what I mean?
So if you go from old school to older school, I don't know if that would be the palate cleanser, the change that the fan base, even though it's Boch, the fans would love it because it's Boch, but what about the players?
Yeah. Like, if you break up with someone because they don't, that like they're a homebody and they won't go out, like, the next person you're going to date is going to be like, we're fun. Let's go out on Fridays and Saturday nights. And it's like, yeah, this is great because it feels great in that moment. 4 months later, you're exhausted. You're exhausted. You're like, you can't, like that. That's not actually what I need or what I want. It's just what I wanted in that moment. Coming out of Analyticsville, everybody wanted rough, gruff, old school. They got it. And now 2 years later, they're like, ooh, maybe less old school. Maybe less, maybe something in the middle. So I don't know. I still feel like they should have hired Stephen Vogt, and I'm comfortable saying that because I said it at the time.
Yep.
That's who I wanted at the time. They didn't get him. He'll wave to us from the playoffs again this year, but they didn't get him. Ship sailed. We'll see what they do next. Let's keep going with the phones. Ralph B., San Rafael. Hi, Ralph. Thanks for the call.
Hey, what's up, guys? How y'all doing today?
We're good, dude.
Outstanding. Hey, look, so I have sort of a two-part question. Number one, first thing I want to say is I think you guys are the best afternoon show in the country, okay? That's number one, all right?
Damn, Ralph, thanks.
The second thing I want to say is, hey, Dibs, I'm ready to see you on some NFL color on a nationwide level. I think you're outstanding. I'd love to hear your voice doing all that kind of stuff. I think you would be extraordinarily entertaining, and I think you would be good for ratings. But here's my two-part question. My two-part question is this. And I want you guys to put your coach's hat on. I know we talked about this Brock thing, and Willard, obviously you've said what you had to say, and I know what you've got to say. I kind of know what your opinion is going to be on this, but look, here's the thing. How many losses, all right, how many losses will it take before you're like, we need to put Mac Jones back in? All right, that's the first part of the question, right? And the second one is, if that's the case, has Brock been overrated over the past two seasons? Now, again, I don't have the answers to these questions. I want to ask you guys because you're the experts. And, again, I think you guys are the best afternoon drive show in the country. So I'm very eager to take these questions offline and listen to what you have, you know, to what you guys have to say. And I wish you guys a really good day.
Ralphie, thank you.
Thank
appreciate you.
You,
Ralph.
Kindness up front and disagree on the back end. My kind of caller.
I bet Ralph, and I bet Ralph's no longer with us on the phone, but I bet you too, you could probably tell, you might have a shot to literally predict my sentence. When someone says, how many losses is it going to take from Brock before you go back to Mac? What's the sentence that's popping around in my head?
63.
Okay.
Well, I was thinking five more years in the contract, and that's about 12 losses a year. That'd do it. That would do it.
It's not the sentence I had in mind.
I know.
The sentence I had in mind is...
There is no number.
Well, we can talk about that in a second.
I love Brock Purdy.
But let me... No, there's no stop. That's not okay, what I'm going to say. Okay. The sentence that first popped into my head is more than one.
Right.
Because that's where we're at.
One in a row.
I know that y'all want to hang last year. Now, Mac Jones didn't play for the team last year. This is a whole new ball of wax now. We got a whole new set of ingredients. No Nick Bosa, et cetera, blah, 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 receivers. We can do all this, opponents, schedule, 3-1. How many losses is it going to take for the Niners to go with Mac Jones? More than one. Now let me back that up with a lot more than one.
Yeah.
And even if you don't want to hear this, it's unfortunately true. Politics and money come into this. The 49ers have hitched their wagon to Brock Purdy. He is going to have to bang everybody over the head with the idea that he sucks out loud to get benched. That's just the reality. But also say, when healthy. Now, if he's not healthy this week, he ain't playing. And Mac will. So a lot of the Mac brigade, you're going to get your wish this week probably. In 3 days. You're probably going to, it sounds like, you got a good shot at another Mac Jones start coming up on Thursday. But Brock Purdy has not done anywhere near enough for everybody to decide now that two players who we've been watching for 4 years, and one of them has given us very much one feeling, and the other one has given us the opposite feeling, now 4 weeks in and one loss in, to start doing the whole Mac is better than Brock thing, I think is a pretty irrational thought right now.
Yeah, and I think when you look at it from the bigger picture, which is a 5-year contract that hasn't even started yet, and a GM and a head coach who also have multi-year extensions that have actually kicked in, this group, the group of three, Lynch, Shanahan, and Purdy, they're tied together. So if you want to go ahead and do something about Brock, let's just say it's at the end of next year. Well, the cap hits $90 million, so if you want to go ahead and swallow that much cap money, dead cap money, you're allowed to make that move. Yep. So if you have Brock on your roster and you're paying him $53 million a year, you're going to want to play him. Otherwise, what are you even doing with your salary cap?
We're going to effort really hard getting Kurt Warner on the show this week. Take it as a grain of salt or take it as a big deal. You get to do what y'all want, but here's what Kurt Warner just tweeted an hour ago. Food for thought. I think it's interesting. Food for thought. Here's Kurt's tweet. For those of you that watch every game, is there any quarterback that has to make more tough throws within structure of offense than Brock Purdy? The degree of difficulty when they aren't dominating in the run game is extremely high, in my opinion. Am I the only one? Now, that's a much more layered way of saying it than I would have said it because he's a Hall of Fame quarterback and I've only played in the parking lot with my friends. So I'm going to take his word more than mine and I'm going to say it in the much more simplistic way. Yes, Brock is going to struggle if the Niners can't run the ball. Period. That does not make him a bad quarterback. He's going to struggle. There are going to be turnovers if you keep struggling to run the ball, especially early in sets of downs.
And it's not only because of him, the quarterback, but it's more because of the system. And I went through, as I always do, and I take my copious notes, and they run a lot of two tight end and or two running back sets, which means you only have two receivers. So to Kurt's point in the tweet, because of the inability to run the ball and you've got third down situations, now you're going to have to be in a pretty obvious passing down situation, and your offense is not built to go 4 and 5 wide. In fact, they didn't go 4 wide receivers at all yesterday, ever.
I don't even know if they have 4 wide receivers.
Right. Every single snap, they had at least a running back and a tight end.
Yeah.
Like, they had 3 wide receiver sets at the most, and so that makes it tougher to go out there and really make big plays through the air just by the scheme and the structure.
Jeff and Marin. Hi, Jeff. Thanks for the call. What you got?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
So before the season started, I called in and you were saying what were the biggest concerns, and I said offensive line and durability and availability. I feel like Karnak now. I think yesterday's game was really a team loss, and there were some coaching problems too. And I'll tell you, first of all, I don't really recall seeing receivers getting very open at all. The offensive line was terrible. Yeah, did Brock not have a great game? No. I wonder whether his toe was affecting his throwing ability. He said no, but it seems to me if you can't push off on your foot, it seems like you're going to throw some balls. Maybe I'm way off base on that, but he just didn't have a good game. Here's another thing, and this goes to coaching also. DeMarcus Robinson finally comes back. I'm all excited because he's going to be lined up opposite, I assume, of Purcell, who had a great game but who also got injured. And he had two targets. Meanwhile, Kendrick Bourne, who I don't think is very good, had four targets. How do you account for that?
Well,
the goal line offense, well, if I could, just a couple more points.
Go ahead, Jeff.
The goal line offense, they get down there and they're inside, what, the five. And the first play, they try to run the ball with a fairly not great offensive line with CMC, and he gets stuck. What's the next play? Second and goal. They try to do a swing pass that starts the ball off, what, three yards behind the line of scrimmage. It gets stuck. Now it's third and goal. Everybody in the entire country watching the game knows it's going to be a pass. And what happens? The pass gets defensed. So I think that's kind of a coaching problem there. And I'm a supporter of Shanahan, but sometimes in those situations, I just don't flat out get it. The defense wasn't great, but they actually did pretty well yesterday, particularly in the second half. But the O-line is problematic. You got a better O-line, you're going to have a better running game than what we've seen. I don't know. Where is Isaac Durando? Is he like completely in the doghouse with the coaching staff?
I don't know if doghouse is the right word. And Jeff, I know you're running through a lot of stuff, and we're running up against it. We'd love to respond to some of what you're saying. Thank you so much. I don't think Isaac Garendo has looked good for quite a while. I don't think he looked good. I don't think he looks good returning kicks. I think that they got Brian Robinson because they were worried about Isaac's health and Isaac's execution. So, yes, I don't know if it's doghouse completely, but I don't think that they see him as the answer. A lot of questions to answer in there. I'm focused a little bit on the DeMarcus Robinson one because I'm excited about him too. The reason his target share was down is his snap share was down. I'd actually be interested if you could look up what was his snap number.
He had 25 snaps.
That's it. How many did Kendrick Bourne have?
Kendrick Bourne had 44.
And that is a result of DeMarcus only getting in two practices, one of them being a Friday walkthrough practice prior to coming back to the team. When you're on suspension, you can't even be on the practice field. So DeMarcus has not been with the team for almost a month, and you just don't come in and show up and then start and run the majority of the snaps. I think those Robinson snaps will go up, and they will go up quickly.
I want the other Robinson snaps to go up, and that's Brian Robinson Jr., who only got 10 snaps. And
he's running the ball pretty well.
Yeah, he did pretty well in the game, and he had a couple of catches as well. I'm looking to see if Shanahan will go to a two running back set that doesn't involve Kyle Juszczyk and just put McCaffrey out there in the slot. Put Brian Robinson Jr. behind the quarterback, rather, and let McCaffrey be a receiver, especially when you may not have Pearsall, you may not have Jennings. Just make McCaffrey a glorified receiver, which is kind of what you do with Juszczyk as a glorified tight end.
I don't hate the idea at all. I do not hate the idea at all. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. We can get into that defensive line discussion a little bit more, too, because he seemed to agree with you. Defense not all that bad, and I get what you're saying if you look at it from 10,000 feet. Doesn't change my opinion, though, that the defensive line got zero pass rush, and they need to make a trade, or else this does not project well going forward because Nick Bosa is not going to reappear. So 888-957-9570 if you want to weigh in on Purdy. Let's go. Find your gut. Figure out what it feels, and then say it. What do you want to say about Brock Purdy? Good, bad, or otherwise, we'll hear you. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Willard and Dibbs.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And Lawrence is going to throw a pass for Hunter. Did he hold on to that one at the 35? What an effort by the rookie out of Colorado. The two-way Heisman star hauls it in for 28. Longest catch of his NFL career. And he had to recoil it as he was being drilled by the fellow rookie Siegel.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
I hated that play.
Yeah.
I hated that challenge even more.
Awful challenge.
That was a great catch.
Can't wait to Grandy's grades. I wonder if he'll give coaching a G worse than an F. That was a bad sequence for Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, although I'm not, it feels to me like you're on him more than I am with regard to the whole, like, accept the penalty, decline the penalty thing. And I want to make sure that I've got this right. And Grandy, maybe you could weigh in. Like, my perception of what he said after the game was that he attempted to decline it. The officials misunderstood, accepted the penalty. Then Kyle kind of called a timeout to call them over and be like, no, I want to decline the penalty. And they're like, it's too late. We're moving on. And then he said they apologized to him after the game. Do I have that right?
I don't know exactly how it went down, like if there was a delay in getting the information out, but he did 100% say that they apologized, that they made a mistake.
Yeah, like, yes. I mean, okay, so I'm with you on the challenge. I don't think it was a great coaching game for Kyle Shanahan, but I don't blame him for that. If the officials messed up and applied something that was not told to them, then that's on them.
Well, maybe they initially, and I know there was confusion because there was multiple fouls initially, and then the only foul was the holding, and by the time that it got communicated to him, he probably didn't do the right thing in the moment, or they didn't communicate it right, and then by using a timeout, that's what made it permanent. Once you call timeout, it's not like in the NBA where you call timeout so you can review it.
Are you sure about
that? I'm just reading from the article in SF Gate. And it makes sense that once you call timeout, and then that basically means you're on to the next play, and so you can't go back and redo what you have done already.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I mean, I don't know exactly what transpired there, but I'd also say, though, that when you've got, because then it just made it second down again, and they did fine on second down. It was on third down
right. That
Hunter gets the catch. And if you've got any pass rush whatsoever in that end of the field, there's not going to be a conversion. They're not going to be able to convert. But even in their own end zone, like, NFL quarterbacks can complete passes if you just let them sit there and you don't touch them all game long. So, and that's what happened. And I know it's a bunch of rookies and patchwork guys, but boy, go Broncos tonight. I hope they embarrass the Bengals. And I'm calling the Bengals as soon as possible about Trey Hendrickson. As soon as they're willing to take a phone call, I'm calling them.
I'm sure they've already called.
And if you need to overpay a little bit because it's a month till the deadline, then overpay. Do it.
I'm sure the Bengals aren't taking calls right now because they're 2-1. And
I don't
so
know.
The Bengals, you're not thinking, oh, season's over. I mean, you're thinking, boy, the season got tougher. Are the Niners thinking the season's over because you lost Bosa?
No, they're not. But this is a different circumstance because they already didn't want to pay him. They've already been in a lengthy holdout with him. And then the finality that they came to on it was to keep him, but only for the rest of this year. It's a little bit of a Juwan Jennings feel.
Right.
So if you've got someone who's going to go, and even if you're like, we're 2-1, things could still go weird, you know, nicely for us. You're not a Super Bowl contender. Burrow's gone. So
but you've got still 5 weeks till the deadline, so the price is only going to go up if you continue to be in the mix.
I think the price goes up in order to do it now. In other words, because you'd get him for 4 more games. I think the price goes down the longer you wait.
Yeah, see, I think the price goes up if there's more teams who are going to be at that spot and more teams might be interested.
In theory, but again, like, I think, you know, the point is fair. You're talking about, do you want him for 9 games or do you want him for 13 games? Like, You would have to pay a premium to get the Bengals to do this now, before it's not trade deadline season yet. So that's all. And if I'm the Niners, do it. Do it. Pay a premium. Like, they absolutely need that guy, I think. I think that would be a game changer right now for their defense.
It would be certainly helpful. And I don't know how he is against the run. I'd have to look at some of the Pro Football Focus metrics and some of the other analysis. I do know that he's an amazing pass rusher. And you've got Bryce Huff, who is basically that. He's your designated pass rusher. And then you look across the defensive line yesterday, and you've got young guys and guys who are more in the journeyman category. Mykel Williams had to move outside, and that didn't go great on the 48-yard touchdown run. So it's definitely patchwork right now, and you want to get into a spot where you can do it with the guys that you have, but you might need an upgrade. I don't know if you necessarily need to go out and find somebody at the tip-top of the market.
Like, no, it
Dallas just brought in Jadeveon Clowney about a week or so ago. And so,
and they only gave up 40.
Right. I mean, just as an example of somebody they brought
That's
in.
That's not fair. But yeah. Like,
and there's some practice squad guys out there who would be, you know, bodies and upgrades perhaps.
Just feels like it feels like a really good fit for both teams. Feels like a really good fit.
Well, I don't know, for Cincinnati, like what, just getting draft capital?
Yes, yes. Joe Burrow's hurt.
But they're 2-1, and you may think what you think about them.
I do.
You can't go into that locker room and say, hey, we're 2-1, and we're going to get rid of our best player.
No, but
hands in the middle.
No, but I, again, I think they're going to lose tonight, and actually, if you then, and yes, you might be right that it needs to happen, but the Bengals' schedule is at Denver tonight, and then they face Detroit, Green Bay, Pittsburgh, the next 3 weeks.
Are you going Schedule Sam on me?
A little bit.
It feels like a little Schedule Sam here.
Joe Burrow's out. I think front offices, are they don't get emotional about this stuff. And they're not a Super Bowl contender. And the guy's going to leave. So why wouldn't you turn him into something? You might be right that you don't do it at 2-1. And in fact, you are, because they're not going to be 2-1 after tonight. Who knows? Maybe they're 3-1. But if they go 2-2 and then Detroit hands it to him on Sunday, blah, blah, blah. We'll see if all those things happen. I do think there's a potential avenue to have this conversation sooner than later. No, not before the Rams game. But is there an avenue to have this game before the Tampa game? Probably not. But the week after that? Yeah, I think there is. And if I'm the Niners, I'm willing to pay that premium to get him for an extra couple of games. That's all I'm saying.
It's a potential move. And just looking at the Pro Football Focus numbers around Trey Hendrickson, he's an 88.2 as a pass rusher, which is really, really good. 58.8 as a run defender.
Yeah, not
and
as
again,
good.
This is just one metric, and it's more of a subjective metric more than it is an objective metric. But I put some stock into what the Pro Football Focus people see and grade. And so, yeah, he grades out as not a Nick Bosa replacement, because Nick Bosa is really good at both run defense and pass defense.
Yeah, he's not as good as Nick Bosa.
No, I'm not saying he is, but he's not. As a pass rusher, he's probably as good, if not a little bit better.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just a go-get-em edge rusher guy.
Let's go to Johnny in Marin. Hi, Johnny. Thanks for the call.
Hey, thanks, guys. I got a quick take. Look, I'm just looking at the top 10 quarterback average salary per year, right? And I'm looking at Purdy down at number 7. You know, if I'm John Lynch and you're giving Purdy $53 million a year, I'm looking at the number names on the list. We have a tier one and a tier two. We got Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, et cetera, at the top of the tier. We got tier two, even Jared Goff, Justin Herbert, Tua, who would argue is a much better quarterback than Purdy, similar, small, gets injured.
That was a wonky statement, but keep going.
Yeah.
Better quarterback, maybe not much better. Better quarterback. My question is this: if you're John Lynch,
super opinionated,
if you're paying Purdy $53 million a year, do you look at this list, which was out before you pay him, and you say, I'm paying a quarterback exactly the same as these top 10 guys, knowing he's number 10, 11, 12, or 13 on this list out of 10? I mean, you can't look at this list and think Purdy's any better than 8, 9. Are you paying for promise? I mean, would you not rather have Matt Stafford? Would you not rather have Patrick Mahomes making, you know, $10 million less at this point?
Well, of course. Yeah, because, Johnny, you're cherry picking. Like, that's not how it works. Like, Purdy's contract had to go now. If you were going to renegotiate Patrick Mahomes today, he would get $10 million more. And so would all of these guys. Like, the market keeps going up, 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 up. That's exactly how it works. So, A, I kind of reject the way that you're looking at it in terms of that's not how a general manager is going to look at this. Like, let's slot him right in what we think our power ranking of quarterback board is. That's not how it works. And then secondarily, my opinion, you're also taking some digs at Purdy that are not accurate or fair. Like, your hardline statement that Tua is a better quarterback than Brock Purdy, hard disagree. Just a hard, hard disagree.
Save Tua, one quarterback on that list.
Okay, but Trevor Lawrence makes...
That you think is worse than Purdy at this point.
Trevor Lawrence makes more than Purdy, and I think he's a worse quarterback.
Arguable. Yeah, I heard you guys talking. Yeah. I heard you guys arguing about that Friday. And arguable at this point.
But
arguable.
Okay, anything's arguable. You came out with Tua's better than Purdy. Arguable at best.
I think Tua is better than... Great. Have you watched Tua play?
Yes, I'm watching him play right now, and I'd argue with you. I am, in fact. Dak Prescott, I could argue, is worse than Brock Purdy based on resumes and head-to-head competition. He makes more than all of them. You don't think Dak is better than Josh Allen, do you?
Of course not.
Okay.
I'm not slating it by the salary. I'm not saying that you make more money, you're better. I'm saying Purdy is definitively at the bottom tier of this list, and you're paying him top-tier money. So do you go into it saying, hey, I'm paying him top-tier money. I'm elevating him to this status, but I'm going to make sure he's at the bottom of the rung. You could be paying Geno Smith right now to make $35 million. You could be paying Mac Jones, have Mac Jones play. Purdy's not that good, and he doesn't belong in the name of these other players. Look
okay.
at this list of quarterbacks.
Yeah,
Johnny, a lot of it's just the timing of when it comes up.
Exactly.
And you can look at the Dak Prescott deal, the Jordan Love, the Kyler Murray. These are all quarterbacks who came up in a time where they were good enough to get those contracts, and you hope that it works out. Daniel Jones was given 4 years and $160 million by the New York Giants, and after a couple of years, they parted ways with him because they realized that he wasn't going to be the guy, and look now in Indianapolis, he's having a great year for the Colts. So the Niners, if they get to a spot after most likely 2027, 3 more years of Brock, they could get out from underneath the contract for $39 million at that point of a cap hit. And so that really is your timeline. If you are somebody who thinks he's overpaid, you're probably going to have to be patient for a little bit.
Well, and also, I just reject this idea, the premise. You paid him top tier. No, you didn't.
Well, it depends on where you draw the line
he's
for
right.
that tier.
Like, I mean, and he's clearly at the bottom of the tier. No, he's not. You know, like you're out here running around with, well, like, oh, but Tua, oh, but Trevor, oh, but, you know, Kyler Murray. Kirk Cousins is making $45 million to watch football. Deshaun Watson is making $46 million to completely be just an anchor around the ankle of his football team. These guys are all up there, and Dibs, your point is spot on, which is that that's a reflection of timing more than anything else. If Mahomes were up for a redo right now, he would lap all of these guys. And by the way, it's a complete black X on Lee Steinberg that Mahomes is not up for renegotiation at this point. It's probably the worst contract in sports, the way that whole thing worked out. Why they went so long-term at such a number, I have no idea. Patrick's fine. He'll eat. I'm not worried about him.
Yeah, he'll pull through.
But, like, this thing, you're making it sound like everybody just grabs out a grid and goes, you make this because you're the seventh quarterback in the league. That's not how it works.
And the way it's going to work this offseason, I'm just looking at the list of would-be, will-be free agents, and Daniel Jones, he's making $14 million this year for Indy.
Yep.
He's 28 years old. If he has the kind of year that he's having, and let's just say Indy wins a couple of playoff games or a playoff game, they win the division and all the rest of it, Daniel Jones is going to get another good size whopper at 28 years old. He might get the Brock Purdy deal. Is Daniel Jones?
That'd be interesting. It's going to be
really
interesting.
If he has this kind of year, they're having a great year.
He's playing great.
Wasn't great against the Rams, but they're a good defense.
They played a good game, though. And,
right.
by the way, they would have won that game if his receiver had decided to hold on to the ball while walking into the end zone as opposed to show everybody the ball.
The point of my take is that if Daniel Jones continues on this trajectory, he's going to get a contract that nobody's going to think he's worth But the Colts are in a spot where they've got a guy, and if you have a guy, you got to pay that guy.
And they might be right. They might be right that you shouldn't pay him. They might be right that you should. I don't know. But it is, once again, circumstantial. It's not a rip on Daniel Jones that maybe he was just playing for the Giants. Maybe that was the problem. Because now he's playing for the Colts, and he looks very, very different. And that's a compliment.
Yep.
You have a system, you run it well. Same thing that Brock does. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, Odyssey Sports Station, home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live on the free Odyssey app and come to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.